That majesty that we have been thinking about and the resurrection of Christ is brought to us clearly in God's Word in the Gospels. This morning we turn also to Matthew chapter 28. You find that printed in your bulletins if you have not brought your Bibles this morning. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" The words of our text this morning can be found in that passage I read. They are the words that are identified with a bold type. Matthew chapter 28, verses 4 and 5. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." I suppose that most of us who have traveled from east to west in our country have been awed by the continental divide. There we find that high ridge that runs from north to south, from which water flows either to the Atlantic or to the Pacific. That divide determines the direction of that water. This text that I read reminds me of that. It reminds me that Jesus is the great divide. And when I say that, that should not surprise you who know your Bible, because after all, when Simeon saw Jesus at birth, he said, "This child is set for the rising and the falling of many." For some, he would be a blessing. For others, he would be a curse. For some, he would be life. For others, he would be death. For some who loved him and by faith followed him, they would be on the road to heaven. And for those who rejected him, they would find their road to end in hell. In that sense, Jesus is the great divide. Life or death. And it is especially on Easter that we sense that. It is especially on Easter that we sense the great antithesis. Now that's a big word. Antithesis, when theologians use it, simply means that in this world, when it comes to God and his kingdom, there is a great divide. It is deep and it is evident. On the one side of that divide are those who do not love God, do not follow and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, do not trust in him for their salvation, and as a result live in fear and are under the judgment of God. On the other side are those who by grace love God, have faith in Jesus Christ, know the grace of God, and are walking on the road that leads to heaven. There is no third choice. There are only those two ways to go. That's what's meant by the antithesis. Truth or lie, light or darkness, life or death, but there is no in between. You find that in this text that I have chosen this morning. The guards were so afraid, we read, that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified." I like the way the King James sets that off. The guards were terrified, but the angel said to the women, "Fear not ye." In other words, they could be afraid, but don't you be afraid. That's the great divide that Easter brings about. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ makes that difference, either fear or peace. That's what I want to talk just a few moments about this morning, about the great divide, Easter, the great divide. Easter is more than bonnets and bunnies. Easter is more than cleaning up the yard for a good spring cleaning. It forces one to deal with Jesus. It forces one to get real. There are those that say, "How do you know that Jesus is true? How do you know that Christianity is right? How do you know that Mohammed perhaps isn't right? Or some other guru or some other prophet?" My friends, if you are going down a road and you come to a fork in the road, and there at the fork in the road stands a living person and there lies a dead corpse, to whom would you go for instruction? When you go down the road of life and you come to the fork in the road, there stands one who was dead and is alive, and all the other prophets are dead. To whom would you go for instruction in the way of life? You see, Easter is the great divide. It separates truth from fiction. It forces us to be real, to get serious, to face the facts. Now perhaps someone will say, "Why get so heavy on Easter?" Because Easter forces us to get heavy. Easter does that to you. Easter doesn't allow us any intellectual cop-out. Easter doesn't allow us to wait and to pretend we don't know. There was a story, I think it's true, about a trial lawyer who confronted a very famous evangelist. And he challenged the evangelist in public to prove the resurrection. 2 days later, at the appointed time, the evangelist came with all of the proof of the resurrection. And the trial lawyer had to admit that it was a solid case. But he still did not become a Christian. Because you see, the problem was not his head. It was not his intellect. It was his knees and his heart. Because his knees would not bow down to the living Lord. And his heart would not confess rebellion and sin and the need for a Savior. You see, that's why we need to get honest on Easter. That's why it forces us to be real. It's heavy stuff. And you find that heavy stuff in this text that I have chosen this morning. When you read about the events that are listed in this text, you are reminded of the judgment, I hope. Because when you read about the judgment in the Bible, it talks about the trumpet sound, it talks about the Lord coming and his angels. It talks about earthquakes. It talks about those who fear that coming so that they cry for the mountains to fall on them. And now you look at this text and you find the angels. You find the earthquake. And you find the guards crying out of fear, and well they might. Because they are standing in the presence of the Lord of Lords. They recognize that in the resurrection. In the resurrection, Jesus is declared to be the Lord, the Son of God with power. And the day before, or 2 days before this, the guards had been mocking him, had stripped him naked, had beat him, had put a crown of thorns on his head, had put a red rag of a robe over his shoulders, and a reed in his hand, and had mocked him and spit on him. And now he is resurrected, and in that resurrected being declared the Lord of glory. Not some guru, but one who was who he said he was. And that, of course, is why Jesus, when he spoke to the publicans and to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees, said to them, "The men of Nineveh in the judgment will rise up and condemn you because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But a greater than Jonah is here, one who not only came out of the fish, but one who came out of the grave." You see, the resurrection forces us to face reality. On the one side of this divide, we see the guards filled with fear. But there's another side to it, the side I hope all of you enjoy this morning. And that is the side that the angel speaks to and says, "Fear not, fear not." It must have been a scary moment for the women, too, that Easter Sunday. After all, the same angels that frightened these rough guards and made them like dead men also appeared to them. But praise God, to the women, the angel says, "But fear ye not, because I know that you are seeking Jesus." You see, that's what made the difference. Their relationship to Jesus made all the difference in the world. And today, that's what the angels say to all who stand with the women. He says to you, "Fear not, for I know that you are seeking Jesus." What wonderful words to hear. What a wonderful reminder today. Because if the grave is empty, what do we have to fear? Death? There are some here who are counting the days that they have left with their loved ones. There are some here who have recently laid a loved one to rest. But if our faith is rooted and grounded in Jesus, then on this Sunday morning, the angel says to you, fear not. And in your mind and in your ear, you hear the words of Jesus, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And we rejoice, even in the midst of that gloom. Some of you are here today burdened with sin. You think about your past. But my friends, if you come in the name of Jesus and you have laid your sins on him, all of them, then the resurrection tells you that those sins are gone because the judge of heaven and earth was satisfied with Jesus and he raised him from the dead. Some of you may be fearful of the future today. But you see, the resurrection puts an end to that because in the resurrection, Jesus is showed to be the Son of God with power. And if indeed he is what the resurrection shows him to be, the Son of God, then we can go to Romans 8 and it will say to us, if God spared not his own Son, but freely delivered him up for us all, will he not give us all things that are necessary? So the words of the angel to us who are seeking Jesus is, fear not. But notice he also says one more thing to these ladies. He says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Their joy and their peace was based not on just an emotional experience that day, but was based on evidence, on proof. There was a reason for them not to be afraid. People on the other side of the antithesis, on the other side of this great divide, forget that today. There's a great challenge, you know, that Christianity faces in the United States. Not long ago, some Democrats in Sacramento were asked why they feared the religious right. Now, you should bear in mind that you are the religious right. The religious right isn't somebody out there, it is people like you. They were asked, why do you fear the religious right? Why are you pinpointing your efforts against them? And they answered in one word, Waco. By Waco, they meant Waco, Texas, and that weird cult of the Branch Davidian. But of course, the Branch Davidian no more characterizes Christianity than Judas characterizes Judaism, or Hitler, the Germans, or the bombers of New York, Islam. Even more, when people point to the Branch Davidian or Jimmy Jones or anyone else, they are setting up a smoke screen. Because the religious right, Christianity, does not point to the Branch Davidian. It does not point to Waco. It does not even point to Billy Graham or to Mother Teresa. Christianity points to the open grave. It points to Jesus, the resurrected Lord. That's the foundation stone of our faith. And that's why the angels could say to the ladies, "Fear not ye, but come and see the place where the Lord lay." How gentle and patient they were with them. They should have known. I know they hoped in Jesus. I know they loved him. But they should have known. Because that's what Jesus had taught them. They should have expected this. They should have listened to Jesus, but they didn't. But the angel does not come to condemn them in their weak faith, but he comes to encourage them, to strengthen them, to give them a foundation upon which to stand. He said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." When the angel says that to them, the angel says that to us as well. You see, that's the blessing that one has from God. The Lord even blesses the weak in faith. The Lord even honored it and helped it grow. "Come," say the angels, "see the place where the Lord lay." It's not just a matter of being gullible. It's a matter of reality. And the Lord honored and blessed the weak faith of the women so that yours may be strong. So that you may know that their report was based on what they heard and on what they saw. The Lord blessed their weak faith so that ours might be strong, so that in the end, when I stand at your grave, or you stand at mine, we may say, "He's not here." And all God's people said, "Amen." Father, we thank you today that he is not here, that he is risen as he said. Grant us grace that we might, even as the women, hear the message of the angels, "Fear not ye." Lord, receive our praise today as we, in faith, crown Jesus, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Amen.